606, welcome back. Welcome to hour number three of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show here on KGYM. It is the big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his crew celebrating not only 14 years in business, but Iowa City West boys basketball team setting that new record for consecutive wins. I know Steve has got a son on the team who's a big supporter of Iowa City West Athletics and KGYM as well. We appreciate that. Speaking of Iowa City West, you're going to hear the Iowa City West girls tonight. Alex Kuhn will have the call, 106.3 FM. That's part of the reason Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com is here in the KGYM studios with me. We're going to kick off the big hour by chatting with former Hawkeye linebacker Ben Neiman. Ben, when you look back on your career as a Hawkeye, not bad for a kid who wanted to be a wide receiver in college, huh?
Yeah, a lot of great memories, and I'm really happy with how the 4 years turned out here. Definitely was a fun time here in Iowa City.
What's the process for you now, heading into the draft, Ben? What's kind of on your plate?
Yeah, so right now I didn't redshirt, so I still have 4 hours of class that I'm finishing up. So I have that this semester, and then I'm just over at the complex training with Coach Doyle and his staff and, you know, some other guys that are trying to land on a team as well. So really just my focus is on working out and then that little chunk of school I have. So
4 hours, is that one three-hour class and a physical PE elective? Or what are we looking at there for course load?
Yeah, I have one major class left and then just another one online elective class. So They're both online, so my load isn't too bad, but kind of just a lot of time to relax and recover my body. So
tells you how much times have changed since I was at Iowa. We didn't have anything online. Ben Neiman, a former Hawkeye linebacker, joining us and getting ready for his next step as a Hawkeye. When you look back on your time, though, how much did you enjoy playing alongside those other linebackers, and especially a guy like Josie Jewell?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, on the field and off of it, you know, I think we all three just really enjoyed our time together. And, you know, on the field especially and in the weight room too, we just got to push each other. And, you know, I think having two guys like that next to you just made all three of us better players. You know, just trying to out-compete the other two at everything, you know, we all did together. And it was a lot of fun on the field then. You know, especially by the end, just the level of trust and communication we had for each other was, you know, really big.
Have you gotten any type of feedback or your agent? I'm sure you've signed with an agent at this point of how NFL teams view you, or maybe even the coaches have talked to NFL people.
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of depends on what system I would potentially land in. You know, I know some people have viewed me as a guy that can put on weight and move inside, you know, and play inside backer, which I guess I did in that Northwestern game when Josie was out with his shoulder. And then also a guy that can play on sub packages as well. But really, you know, I'm open to anything and just whatever the teams will ask me to do. I'm definitely willing, and I guess kind of just depends on what system I fit into. So,
Ben, for people who may not recall your recruitment, you were headed to Northern Illinois. What changed that led you to Iowa?
Yeah, I was headed to NIU. My dad was there at that time, and they offered me, like, I want to say one of the first couple weeks of my junior season, and I just committed on the spot, you know, thinking that was going to be my home, and then kind of shut down the recruitment process, and then later that summer, Iowa came calling, and you know, I figured I would give it a look, and came out here, and you know, went on a visit, and really enjoyed it, and just fit in well with the staff and the current players and the guys that were hosting me, and you know, then I kind of thought longer and realized my dad might not be at NIU my whole career, which he ended up not being, so kind of turned out for the best from both sides of that, but yeah, definitely happy I ended up being a Hawkeye. So,
and then already referenced it, but you had wanted to play wide receiver at NIU. What was that conversation like when you got to Iowa and eventually they settled on putting you at linebacker?
Yeah, I kind of knew that wasn't going to be going to be an option once they started talking to me, just because they only had one wide receiver scholarship, I believe, and Jay Shield had taken that up already. He was already committed when they started talking to me. So, you know, I came into camp, actually, and, you know, they had me start at linebacker with the Leos, and then they said they would check me out at safety as well. And then I guess things kind of went smoothly, and I stayed at linebacker the whole camp, and then ended up getting a scholarship after that. So
I know you'll know who this quote is from. I think if you look at Nick Neiman, he might be a little faster than Ben. I know you've,
yeah.
I know you've been asked this before, but is that true? Is Nick faster than you? And we're talking about your younger brother, Nick, who will be a redshirt sophomore this fall.
Yeah. I mean, I still have him in the 10-yard dash every time at the complex. You know, we don't run 40, so I guess he and I haven't officially raced or anything, but I'm going to stick to it and say I got him beat. But I don't know. Hopefully he is faster than me. You know, he's an athletic kid and has a good upside. So, you know, I'm excited for his future.
That quote was from Phil Parker, by the way. Yeah. I wanted to mention that.
Former Hawkeye linebacker Ben Neiman joining us on the program. So we've already reminded everybody, unfortunately, there are going to be three new starters at linebacker for the Hawkeyes next year, with everybody graduating. What do you think the future looks like at the linebacker position for the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, definitely going to be a young group, but you know, there's a lot of guys in that room that are capable, and you know, a lot of guys that have experience, you know, playing special teams and you know, getting in some game time at the end as well. And you know, you have a senior in Aaron Mentz who will provide good leadership to those guys, and I think Jack Hockaday as well will do the same. And, you know, if you look back, you know, Bo, Josie, and I, we were all in that position. And, you know, if we're being honest, I don't think the whole fan base necessarily had a lot of trust in us at that time either. There was a lot of question marks going in. And, you know, I know Coach Wallace will get those guys coached up. And they're all hard workers and guys that are going to put in the time to be good. So I think they'll be all right.
You touched on this earlier, Ben, and I think it's interesting watching you play middle linebacker at Northwestern this year. You looked comfortable in doing so. How much weight do you feel like you can add without losing any of your agility? Because I think one of your best attributes is your ability to cover in space as a linebacker. What do you feel like your parameters are there that you could, you know, in terms of weight and still be effective?
Yeah, you know, my senior year, this last year, I was about 230 to 232, weighing in every week. But I think I can play at about 240, you know, somewhere in there. That's kind of, I guess, something I got to feel out. And, you know, I'll do what teams ask me to do as far as if they want me to gain weight. You know, I'll be willing to do it. But, yeah, I guess we'll see how it turns out. I won't really know until I get there, I don't think. But, yeah, probably 240.
Ben, if I had to put you on the spot and ask you for a particular game or two that were your favorites from your time as a Hawkeye, which ones sort of leap to the front of the pack?
Yeah, you know, I would say the Michigan and Ohio State games, just, you know, big-time wins in Kinnick, just an electric environment and the, you know, the fans, you know, just really bringing energy and juice to the game, but also just the whole 2015 season, especially, you know, getting to go to the Rose Bowl and playing in the Big Ten Championship, even those you know, those games didn't go the way we wanted, but just the experience with that was a lot of fun. So there's a lot of games. I could go down the list, honestly. But
the ascension of Josh Jackson this year, Ben, what a amazing story, you know, where he was and where he got to. I'm sure you guys saw signs of that in practice. He was obviously behind two NFL players in Desmond and Greg. I don't know if you saw this coming, if anybody did, but did you see him stepping in there and being successful?
Yeah, definitely. You know, me and Josh, we came in the same class, and from the time we were in the dorms, you know, together, you could just tell going through workouts as well. He's just a freak athlete. You know, I think his draft stock is high now, but after he goes through the combine and pro day and people see the testing numbers he puts up, it's only going to help him as well. But physically, he's always had it. Since day one, he stepped on campus. And obviously, he improved with our strength program. But I think the biggest thing was it just all clicking for him mentally. And I think being behind Desmond and Greg Maben, that definitely helped him a lot. And then once he got his opportunity, he was ready to step in. And, you know, that was, I guess, just from the buzz of social media and stuff, I think people thought that would be kind of a question mark for us coming in last year. And he answered the bell and had a tremendous year. So,
Ben, we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. And good luck as you get ready to finish up those 4 hours and take the next step in your football career.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Former Hawkeye linebacker Ben Neiman. I aired earlier. I said we had no online classes when I was at Iowa. There was a one-hour class called Online at Iowa. And just to let everybody...
That sounds like a late-night talk show.
just to let everybody in on what that entailed, I'm going to date myself here. The crux of the class was it was a CD that you played off. You took the class on the CD, and it walked you through a project. In the end, the final project to get the 1 hour credit was you needed to create your own web page on AngelFire.
Hmm. Yeah,
some listeners may not even know what AngelFire is.
I do remember that.
It was an ancient website building tool. You can still sometimes come across ruins of it on the internet, but that was, you could email there was a professor, you emailed him, but I feel like I just admitted to going to college in the Stone Age. We actually had a punch card for laser printed papers. They had the dot matrix printers in all of the computer labs, and those were free. But if you wanted to use a laser printer, and most of the professors wanted things on laser printer, you were ponying up. You got a punch card that I think at the beginning of the year, you got like 100 free pages or something. And then after that, Iowa was dipping into the wallet for some nickels. I feel old.
They didn't have computers when I was in college.
Well, okay. You made me feel a little bit better there. 6:18. Speaking of Iowa football, we're going to get into this a little bit. We touched on it earlier this week, but the Hawkeyes have added a 10th assistant to the coaching staff in Iowa City. And got some interesting ties to the South and the state of Georgia. Rob and I will chat about that when we come back. The Big Hour continuing on after this.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But, Dad, school pictures are today.
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, DuPaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all DuPaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through DuPaco's online banking or app. Not a DuPaco member? Join today in branch or online at DuPaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
Kick off 2018 right at La Cantina. If it's football you love, catch all the championship games at any La Cantina location. Or pick up your favorites from La Cantina and take them home for your own viewing party. La Cantina has specials every day. And if you've made a resolution to eat better, La Cantina's light menu will hit the spot with healthier options of delicious favorites and even skinny margaritas. It's another great year for La Cantina Bar and Grill in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and downtown Cedar Rapids.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Welcome back in. The Todd Brolkamp Show continuing 621. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com along with us tonight for the final hour. News out of East Lansing, Michigan State and Wisconsin getting ready to play a basketball game at the Breslin Center tonight. Michigan State, the subject of an ESPN Outside the Lines report earlier today with fallout from the Larry Nassar case. Michigan State football coach Mark D'Antonio expected to address the media at the Breslin Center momentarily. He reportedly will not be taking any questions, but he will be making a statement. So we'll let you know what's going on with that as we continue to watch this develop. Actually, it's part of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Do Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo make it out of this? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. While we're thinking Hawkeye football here and waiting to see what, if anything, develops out of East Lansing, the big news with Kirk Ferentz's program earlier this week, it had been hinted at for a while. The NCAA has allowed teams to add a 10th coach to the staff, and he said he didn't have a timeline. He may take his time. And then they announced it, Kirk Ferentz bringing a name that doesn't exactly ring a bell to a lot of Iowa fans. He's kind of an unknown at this point, Rob, but he's got ties to the state of Georgia and is maybe going to help the Hawkeyes in their recruiting efforts a little.
Yeah, I think Kirk wanted, and he doesn't do anything without, you know, properly vetting and going through the process, you know, piece by piece. So I think he had a pretty good idea that this was going to be his guy. And I think he said it to us at the press conference earlier this month that he wanted a guy that was versatile enough to help them on the field with coaching, but also contribute, you know, significantly in the recruiting realm. And I think he found that in Derek Foster, and he has connections with Seth Wallace. They worked together at Valdosta State in Georgia. There's a key recruit in this weekend, Jaden McDonald from Georgia, a linebacker from Georgia that, you know, they don't have connections with them, but I talked to Jaden's mom and she was happy with the hire. So these things tend to tie themselves together.
If the weather holds, it's not a bad weekend to bring kids in from Georgia and the
other,
South.
Yeah, and the other linebacker that's in on an official weekend that has as uncommitted is James Miller from Florida. So they got a Florida and a Georgia kid in this weekend. So this weather is definitely what the doctor ordered in that regard.
What does this do as far as the reorganizing of the staff? Because he's going to have a role on the offensive side of the football. They didn't necessarily spell it out, but what do you think when everything is said and done, how do you think the staff, the assignments are going to look?
My guess is Foster takes over running backs, Brian takes over tight ends, and LeVar Woods devotes all his time to the special teams. That's kind of the way I see it, because Kirk has mentioned a couple times now that they really want to put more emphasis on one guy taking over the special teams. It was split between Woods and Wallace, and I think Kirk wants to take Wallace away from special teams and have him spend more time dedicated to defense.
Yeah, special teams continues to, yes, I think, be at the forefront of the issues that Iowa is going to try to address this spring. Ben Neiman didn't necessarily get into specifics there when I asked him about the future of the linebacking situation. How do you think, he did bring up Aaron Menz, but what do you think the depth chart is going to look like at the end of spring ball?
I think it's interesting because we could see he mentioned Hockaday too and Menz, and you think about Quentin Alston a few years ago that came in after James Morris and he was a senior. You know, do Menz and or Hockaday step in as that senior? Cole Fisher's another guy that emerged late in his career. Do we get those guys doing that, or is the younger group of guys, whether it be Imani Jones, Christian Welch, Nick Neiman, are those the guys that emerge? And I think, from what Kirk said earlier this month, he said it's pretty wide open, and I would take him at his word. I think these guys are going to battle out for these positions in the spring and in the summer.
319-366-1600, that is the Hertine and Stocker text line. Find them at 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City. The Dickens family celebrating 70 years in business. Let them know you heard about them right here on KGYM. We will talk a little Iowa hoops on the back end of the big hour here. The Hawkeyes getting ready to head to Lincoln, Nebraska to take on the Huskers, and then it's home next week with Minnesota. Iowa women getting a big win last night over a top 15 Ohio State team. Kyle's going to tell you all about it right now on our next Midwest One Bank Big Board Update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Hawkeye women put an end to their three-game skid in a pretty big way last night, upsetting number 12 Ohio State 103-89. The Buckeyes came in as the Big Ten's highest-ranked team, but the Hawkeyes controlled the game from start to finish. Megan Gustafson led with a game-high 29 points. Kathleen Doyle had 25 with 11 assists. Chase Coley had 12 points and 11 rebounds, and Mackenzie Meyer had 18 points in her second game back from a hand injury. The University of Iowa Sports Information released a statement this morning regarding Fran McCaffrey's extension, calling it fair and equitable to the marketplace, and also mentioning that McCaffrey has had multiple opportunities to leave, but it's clear he wants to stay. Regarding the buyout, they say it's nothing more than honoring the value of the contract, and McCaffrey said today in a teleconference that he has no regrets about the perceived secrecy of it, saying, "I'm not hiding anything. I had a contract. I still have one." Tonight after the show, we've got a pair of huge high school girls matchups on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We've got Class 4A top-ranked Marion hosting number 5 Centerpoint Urbana. We've also got Class 5A second-ranked Cedar Falls traveling to number 9 Iowa City West, and that'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we will have the Iowa State men hosting number 22 Tennessee in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. We'll pick up coverage at 2 o'clock before they tip off at 3, also on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
All right, Kyle knows what we've got to do right now. We've got a second $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue. $2 domestic pints and well drinks, $2.50 domestic bottles, and $3 craft beer pints, the happy hour specials after work on a daily basis. So keep that in mind as you start divvying up that $30 in your head. But don't spend it yet. You got to be caller number 6, 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you're going to take home our final $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Ave here in Cedar Rapids. Hawkeye fans, you probably have made some memories in the past at the Fieldhouse. Well, you can make some new ones. 366-1600. Hawkeye hoops and more to come as the big hour continues on the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
How you doing there? Beautiful car, isn't she?
Yeah, what's the price?
Yeah, 93 late nights at the office. Well, plus tax, of course.
93 late nights? Oh, my budget's more like 78.
Oh, let me talk to the boss, see what I could do.
While other insurance companies just see a car, we see something you've worked really hard for. So why not give it the protection it deserves?
Well, now, he's never done this before, but he says I could do 90 late nights and some free air fresheners.
Deal.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, a veteran, one who's known to perform under pressure. At Valvoline, we believe great performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why there's Valvoline Max Life. After 75,000 miles, use Valvoline Max Life to treat the hidden signs of aging and help extend the life of your engine. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit Advance Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life and a filter for $24.99. See store for restrictions and details.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you're unanimously voted MVP, not of the league, of the earth.
With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon.
But you'll feel like you've just been handed a championship trophy made from every other championship trophy.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
I love my wife, and I really love sleeping with her. I'd like to do it more.
Now that we have Theravent, sleeping with my husband is amazing. In fact, I'd love to sleep with them right now.
Theravent anti-snore strips are getting couples back to sleep together because now there's no excuse to keep snoring. Theravent is clinically shown to reduce snoring using the power of your own breathing. They're now available in stores nationwide, and you can see how they work at Theravent.com. Theravent, the answer is right under your nose. Not intended to treat sleep apnea. Use as directed.
6:31. Welcome back in. The Big Hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Hour number three continuing on the Todd Brommelkamp Show. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. With you for another 29 minutes, give or take, tonight. 7:30, high school basketball on the way on all three frequencies. Check the website, kgymradio.com, for a full schedule. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in on the back half of the program tonight for Alex Kuhn. Corey in North Liberty is going to have to come visit us up here in Cedar Rapids in Linn County. He wins our final $30 gift certificate to the Field House. Coming up all next week on the program, we've got tickets to see Avenged Sevenfold at the U.S. Cellular Center. That concert has a very limited number of tickets available. We've got them for you, though, so we can guarantee you get into the building for that concert. You're just going to have to listen next week to win them with us. Plenty more to get to tonight before 7 o'clock. Still have not seen any details of Mark D'Antonio's statement. The Michigan State head coach expected to address the media at the Breslin Center. Michigan State hosting Wisconsin tonight. A 17-point favorite are the Spartans. Mark Hollis, the now former athletic director. Rob, I don't know how much you pay attention to this stuff, but with Jim Delaney announcing a while ago that he was getting ready to step down as the commissioner of the Big Ten, Mark Hollis's name is one that's been bandied about by people as a guy who could have replaced Delaney as the commissioner of the Big Ten. And now, I mean, his life is pretty much in ruins.
Yeah. And he was the, you know, he was in charge of the ship. And I think it was Sports Illustrated. I think I saw Bruce Feldman tweet this a while back. They did a survey of athletic directors and folks in the media. I forget who else they polled, but Hollis was one of the top five athletic directors considered, you know, viewed as one of the top five athletic directors nationally, and just dropped the ball in so many places in this case. And I'm sure he will not be the last one to go, and it'd be interesting to see if D'Antonio survives this.
We talked with Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News in the 5 o'clock hour. He had tweeted earlier that Mark Hollis, in his 11 years, claims that he had never met Larry Nassar. And I have a hard time buying the AD never having crossed paths with someone with a high profile like Nassar in the Michigan State Athletic Department. Christmas party, women's gymnastics meet. Somewhere along the line, you had to have crossed paths with him. But ultimately, he's the captain of the ship with that athletic department, and he tenders his resignation. Luana K. Simon, who's the president. I know you and I both have really strong feelings about what went down at Penn State. I sat here 5 years ago and said we'd never see anything like it. This is slightly different, but yet also in the same vein, given what Larry Nassar did. When are we going to wise up here to stuff like this and realize that it's probably not as rare as we think it is? Now, the grand scheme of things, Penn State and Michigan State, those instances are maybe the outlier, but the insulatory practices of these universities where they are covering up a lot of things, it's not necessarily as rare as some people might like.
No, and we saw it. I mean, there are different degrees, but they're all awful. You know, what we saw at Baylor, what we've seen recently at Minnesota, then Penn State, Michigan State, and it goes on in other places too. Advise people or recommend to people, if they haven't seen it yet, it's called The Hunting Ground. And I saw it on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's still on there, but it's about sexual assault on college campuses, not just in athletic departments, but overall, and how it's covered up. So It's just not exclusive to the athletic departments. It's a problem on college campuses, you know, institutions of higher learning, allowing this to go on and covering it up to me is just mind-boggling. And I don't know. I mean, it's driven by money, whether it be the college itself or the athletic departments. They're in it for money. And that it's obvious that they weigh that more than, you know, decency and being a human and protecting people when they need to be protected. And who's the law in this, Todd? The NCAA doesn't seem to have any teeth. They just let the Penn State thing go away.
After 5 years, it's like nothing happened.
So what happens to Michigan State here? What are the penalties?
Well, I said it rather glibly the other day, but I can't wait to find out what they are and then see them rolled back within 5 years, because all of a sudden, oh, well, these kids are innocent. They didn't do anything. You can't punish the athletes. And it all comes back to athletics and winning games. And that's what happened at Penn State. They're still waiting, by the way, doing some microphone checks. But Brendan Quinn, who covers Michigan sports for The Athletic, is reporting that both Mark D'Antonio's statement, which is forthcoming, and Tom Izzo's post-game press conference tonight are going to be held in front of a plain backdrop with only the Michigan State logos on it. They have another backdrop that has sponsor logos. Those sponsors can request their logos not appear in certain instances, and it appears to be the case here where they don't want anything to do, and rightfully so, with what's going on.
And that's the money element that comes to this.
Exactly.
If sponsors pull out and say, hey, we're not getting behind this anymore, then maybe action's taken.
And yeah, exactly. And that's unfortunate that it takes the money being affected before people start worrying about things. I don't think the Pierre Pierce situation was necessarily a big deal until people started not showing up and filling seats at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And then Iowa looked around and said, yeah, maybe we got a bigger deal here on our hands. My prediction here is not necessarily resignation. I think D'Antonio is going to make a statement that's been run through a couple lawyers and a PR guy or two. He's going to acknowledge that this is a story and say no further comment. I don't think he's going to step down.
No, and hopefully he does. He won't step down, because he's going to try to, if they do end up having to fire him, he's going to want to get as much money as he can out of the thing, because that's, again, what it's all about. But hopefully his statement has a little more contrition than the president's statement had, which was an embarrassment again for the university.
D'Antonio's one story. He was on the hot seat a year ago, and then they turned things around this past year. But you know as well as I do where Tom Izzo stands in the pantheon of Big Ten basketball coaches, and basketball coaches nationally, very highly respected, a guy that up until now hasn't had a whole lot of blemishes on his record. Is this going to maybe take down Tom Izzo before everything is said and done, or is he far enough away from this, or can he claim to be far enough away from this? The ESPN Outside the Lines report today was damning, in my opinion, for both their football and men's basketball programs.
Yeah, and the case with Payne and Appling was, you know, the ESPN story, and again, I'd recommend people read that if they want to get, you know, the whole skinny on what happened at, you know, what's on record and is happening at MSU. I think a lot of it, Todd, is going to depend on how Izzo handles this. If he comes out defensive and supporting Hollis and what this university did during this whole situation, it's going to be a bad look for him. He needs to not come out and try to strong arm public opinion on this and acknowledge that this university messed up.
So speaking of uncomfortable news conferences, Fran McCaffrey had a teleconference earlier today. What do you make of, well, first we talked with Scott Docterman earlier tonight from the Land of 10, who basically was just doing some due diligence a couple months ago, weeks ago, filing a Freedom of Information Act request and getting a copy of Fran McCaffrey's contract to see if anything had changed, and stumbles upon some major changes that Iowa didn't say anything about. And then today, Iowa has sort of this bizarre statement before Fran's teleconference saying that he's not going to take any questions on it. And then, there was a question about it, and he wasn't too happy.
Yeah, he was terse and basically said, I'm not hiding anything. I had a contract and I still had a contract, as Kyle has put on the big board updates.
I don't think anybody's accused Fran of hiding anything. It's the university that basically chose not to say anything.
Right, and they usually, I think they announced Kirk Ferentz's last extension like a day after it was signed. And Gary's been sick, but Gary's been at every sporting event. He's been around, and it wouldn't have taken a lot to issue a press release on this. And the irony is, if they would have released this at the end of November, it would have been better received, I think, than it is now, because they've gone downhill since then. I don't get it. I don't understand why they held back this information.
It made, as I said earlier today, what would have been maybe a little bit of an uncomfortable story. If you announce it after that the day after the Virginia Tech loss, if you announce it, people are probably grumbling about it. Oh, God, what timing? And then it goes away. You made a story that may have been a little bit of a bug bite into a bee sting by not saying anything and then having it come to light this way, because it does look like they were hiding something. They didn't want it to become public, but you can't, a leopard isn't going to change its spots. It just seems that that's the way that they do things at Iowa. Now, Mark D'Antonio has taken the podium in East Lansing, and according to reporters that are there, including Brendan Quinn from The Athletic, he has read a statement that says that any accusations of his handling of sexual assault are false.
Fake news.
Fake news, yeah. Go ahead and prove. You got to prove it. The burden of proof is.
Now, so he goes into denial mode.
I'm not a lawyer or anything, obviously. Speaking of contracts, Mark D'Antonio's got one at Michigan State. There's usually language in there about being fired for cause, and my take on that in reading that is he's digging his heels in, maybe expecting to lose his job over this, and he's trying to lay the groundwork for some sort of appeal and or defense of trying to get as much money from Michigan State when he's fired, is to basically come out and say everything is false, especially at this point, and especially this has been public. The guys who cover Michigan State have written about many of these cases. As a matter of fact, we've talked about it here on the air with regard to that 3-win season 2 years ago and how it wasn't necessarily the losses that put him on the hot seat, but all the legal issues that his football players were getting into, which were adding to. So it's not as if this has been a big secret. So for him to come out today and just say all the stories about how he handled things are false, good luck with that defense, because I don't think people are going to buy it.
No, and the cases are on the record. ESPN lays out all of the documents where this went back to 2007, and he said last year that he didn't have any issues with this until the most recent cases that happened, whatever that was, in 2015. So that turned out to be a lie. You know, it's, I get that he's trying to save face here, but maybe this is the only thing he can do, Todd. I mean, he's in it now, so what else, what other defense does he have?
He's also telling reporters that any reports of him stepping down as the team's football coach are false. So he's digging his heels in and saying that he's not going anywhere, basically. So it's the equivalent of come at me, bro. And I got bad news for him. I know he's not listening. They're coming after you, and they're going to get you. I mean, this has taken down the president of the university. It's taken down the athletic director. And now with the ESPN Outside the Lines report today, it's going to take down one, if not both, of those guys. Izzo probably has a little bit better chance of coming out of this than D'Antonio does. But it's an interesting approach here, to say the least, for Mark D'Antonio.
I think you can somewhat make a parallel to the Baylor case, where there was football sexual assaults going on, and the head coach, Briles, and the athletic director were shown the door.
Yeah.
And it seems like this is a similar case, where it was a pattern and a culture of letting this stuff go and covering it up.
And part of that culture goes back to Larry Nassar and one of the original complaints, which I think was 1997, where Michigan State launched an internal investigation and cleared him. So they didn't find anything. And that was 1997, 21 years ago. And you stop and think, what if they would have found something and maybe stopped or prevented everything that happened from happening? But hindsight is 2020 here. It's a disturbing story. It's one that's not going away anytime soon. And as you said, who's going to be the arbiter of justice here? Because as you pointed out, the NCAA, they tried in the Penn State case and everybody said out of bounds. You don't have any jurisdiction here. They're looking into Michigan State, and you know any penalties that come down. I see people saying burn it down. Give them the death penalty. We said the same thing about Penn State, and 5 years later they're going to bowl games. They got the full 85 scholarships, and it was like nothing ever happened, except the statue was gone.
And you can't count on internal investigations or the university itself taking action, because then it's admitting fault in this case of allowing this to go on with D'Antonio. So somebody on the outside, the NCAA, I guess, if it has the teeth, needs to step in and take action. But it's already shown that it's soft in doing so. And, you know, it also is compromised because it would be sacking a Big Ten university that makes the NCAA money. So I don't know if there needs to be some other avenue to oversee this stuff, but I don't know where it ends. If it just doesn't, if it's going to continue to go on after the Penn State Baylor thing, and now we've got the Michigan State thing, does it stop? And it's hard to say yes when these stories keep coming.
Now, D'Antonio says every incident listed in the ESPN story was documented and reported to him, quote, by the authorities. And so Stuart Mandel are reporting that from The Athletic. So lots of folks in the Breslin Center tonight, not necessarily there for Michigan State and Wisconsin basketball. Speaking of hoops, not to change the subject, but it doesn't look like this story is going anywhere tonight with D'Antonio digging his heels in. Iowa heads to Nebraska this weekend to take on the Huskers. Not a world-beating Nebraska team, but the Hawkeyes are still going to have to avoid doing some of the things that have shot themselves in the foot early on in the season in order to escape that game with a win.
And Iowa played well at Illinois, and you thought, okay, maybe this is turning the corner, and then they stunk it up again after that. So now we're back here again. They beat a team at home that's not very good in Wisconsin. Have they turned the corner, whatever that corner is, or do they have any momentum that they can use throughout the rest of this season? I don't particularly like this matchup with Nebraska. Nebraska's athletic. They've got guys on the perimeter that drive to the basket, straight line drive. They've got guys that can hit three-pointers. Iowa's going to have to play one of its better games this year to win. If you watched Michigan at Purdue last night, that was a really close game. Nebraska beat Michigan at home easier than Purdue did. Nebraska's, I think, 11-1 or 12-1 at home. Really, really tough game for Iowa tomorrow.
And next home game will be Minnesota, which I think is winnable at this point. You look at that, and the Gophers are kind of a team in disarray. They've had their own sexual assault scandal that has plagued that program this year. We talked a little bit about it with Scott last hour, but to me, the biggest story about on this team this year is that lack of leadership. And I'm not seeing a ton of it with this group, but you're starting to maybe see signs of a couple guys stepping forward. And I think encouraging to see Luca Garza being one of those guys as a freshman. Sometimes you get on campus and that first year you're a little bit of a wallflower and kind of standing back. And he seems to be letting his play sort of speaking for himself here a little bit, but kind of taking this losing personally.
Yeah, he hates to lose, and super competitive and an energy guy whose, you know, enthusiasm becomes infectious on the team. You can kind of see it on the floor. When he gets going and makes some plays, he gets riled up. It gets his teammates riled up. I think you had that in Jock last year. I think as much as he was criticized, Adam Woodbury was a really good leader and guys didn't get to the basket. And defensively, he was a guy that was in the middle of that defense that really, you know, set the foundation there. Aaron White the year before. I agree with you, Todd. I think Luka Garza can be that guy, but can a freshman do that? And do the other guys let a freshman lead them? And I really think that maybe Bohannon and Cook, being the, you know, quote unquote faces of the program right now, they've got to take at least a part of that from Garza. Garza can be one of those guys, but I think those other two guys need to be that too.
319-366-1600, not to bounce back to football here. We talked a little bit about it with the addition of the 10th coach, but you mentioned a couple names coming in this weekend. It's still a big push for the what would normally be signing day. It's, 12 days away, but Iowa trying to round out what's left of its recruiting class. Where do they stand with regard to their work to do there?
Yeah, the two linebackers, Seth Benson, a guy who signed from Sioux Falls, Washington High School, is in on his official visit this weekend. And then he'll be joined by Jaden McDonald, a linebacker out of Sewanee, Georgia, North Gwinnett High School. And then James Miller out of Sefner Armwood, who Hawkeye fans will remember produced Antoine Allen back in the day. And Iowa's had a good history with that program, is also in this weekend. McDonald visited Kansas State last weekend and is scheduled to visit Ole Miss next weekend. Miller just got an offer from Florida State this week. So these are two high-level guys at a position of need for Iowa that Iowa will face stiff competition to get them, to sign on the dotted line.
Somebody asked this on the text line earlier, and I didn't really get an opening to bring it up, but how do you think what's going on in East Lansing right now affects Michigan State with signing day? If you were a football prospect looking at playing for Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans, maybe you've taken a quick look around over the next 11 days?
Oh, without question. And D'Antonio came back. This is a big time for coaches being on the road. He must have come back to East Lansing today off the road, because I saw a couple of national recruiting writers talk about where he was already today. He was visiting recruits this morning. This has just got to be a nightmare in that regard. But, you know, you kind of reap what you sow.
What do you do with the early signing period, the kids that have already signed their letters of intent? I mean,
that's why I wonder if that the new transfer rule that they've talked about, where letting guys have a mulligan and being able to transfer, I think you have to, especially if a coach leaves after you sign. I think that happened with Western Illinois. The coach left like a day after signing day. I think there needs to be some flexibility there for the athletes, especially if you want to keep transfers under control, because you're just asking for trouble if you don't.
6:53, we'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back, we'll get you a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then get you off to your weekend. Hope your plans entail maybe getting outside and enjoying some of that nice weather before it invariably turns on us again. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show continuing for the next few minutes. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in. The Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, continues after this.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate and ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Play real pool. Yeah, the kind manly men play. At TCB Pool Hall. TCB isn't one of those joints with a quarter pool table stuck in the back room for atmosphere. No. TCB is a pool hall. 10 full-size tables, you rent by the hour. But you gotta be 21 to get in, because any regulation game of pool requires something cold in your hand. Pool, cold beer, TCB Pool Hall. On the Ped Mall, next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
There are still companies that care. Companies that have your back. Companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
Couple minutes to go before 7 o'clock. You'll enjoy some ESPN programming, and then high school basketball is on the way. Make sure you join us on Monday. Mac McCausland will be with us. We'll talk Hawkeyes and Huskers. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, will recap the Big 12 SEC Challenge game between Iowa State and top 25 Tennessee. You can hear that on 1600 AM tomorrow. Kyle's got a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you before we part ways. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Hawkeye women put an end to their three-game skid in a pretty big way last night, upsetting number 12 Ohio State 103-89. The Buckeyes came in as the Big Ten's highest-ranked team, but the Hawkeyes controlled the game from start to finish. Megan Gustafson led with a game-high 29 points, Kathleen Doyle had 25 with 11 assists, Chase Coley had 12 points and 11 rebounds, and Mackenzie Meyer had 18 points in her second game back from a hand injury. The University of Iowa Sports Information released a statement this morning regarding Fran McCaffrey's extension, calling it fair and equitable to the marketplace, and also mentioning that McCaffrey has had multiple opportunities to leave, but it's clear he wants to stay. Regarding the buyout, they say it's nothing more than honoring the value of the contract. McCaffrey said in a teleconference that he has no regrets about the perceived secrecy of it, saying, "I'm not hiding anything. I had a contract. I still have one." Tonight after the show, we've got a pair of big-time high school girls matchups. On 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym, we've got Class 4A top-ranked Marion hosting number 5 Center Point Urbana, and we've also got Class 5A second-ranked Cedar Falls traveling to number 9 Iowa City West. That'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we'll have the Iowa State men hosting number 22 Tennessee in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. We'll pick up coverage at 2 o'clock before they tip off at 3, and that's also on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
All right, that's going to do it for another week of local programming. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes will kick things off at 3 o'clock on Monday with the gym class. They'll have Cedar Rapids Gazette columnist Mike Halas with them. Enjoy your weekend, folks. I'll talk to you next Monday at 4 o'clock.
So, how do you like being a new dad?
Wow. No, it's...
Amazing, right?